You are back on The Fringe. Today, I'm going to be talking about 5 ways to recognize a master manipulator. Disclaimer, this episode involves mentioning drugs and drug trafficking. This is from psychologytoday.com, and this article is by Dale Hartley, MBA, PhD. The key points are: Machiavellians often reveal clues about their intentions if you know what to look for. Sometimes a telltale sign isn't what they do, but what they don't do. One clue to watch out for is that niceness isn't always nice. Some of you out there have probably dealt with someone who fits this description perfectly at one point in your life or another. It can come from anywhere. Acquaintances, co-workers, friends, even family members, and complete strangers. This story is about a Canadian grandmother. This Canadian grandmother sits in a Hong Kong jail charged with drug trafficking. Her troubles began when she went online looking for love. The woman, I'll call her Alice, fell for the fake dating profile of a man calling himself James, who claimed to be working in Ethiopia. He vowed to meet Alice and marry her as soon as he could get away. Eventually, James sent Alice a plane ticket and asked her to join him in Ethiopia. Her adult daughter warned Alice not to go, but she was determined to meet her true love in exotic Africa. But upon her arrival, James was a no-show. Instead, she was met by a stranger who informed her of a change in plans. James would meet her in Hong Kong instead. The stranger gave her an airline ticket and a suitcase, which was supposedly a gift from James. When she got off the plane in Hong Kong, Alice didn't make it through customs. The suitcase she'd been given in Ethiopia contained cocaine hidden in clothing. James had seduced her, only to turn her into a globe-trotting drug mule. But the tragic tale of Alice's imprisonment in China is only half the story. This was not the first time she'd been horribly exploited in a romance scam. A previous catfisher had conned her out of $20,000. Alice even wrote a book about that experience. As an anonymous source wisely said, life's lessons are repeated and become more difficult until they are learned. Here are 5 ways to recognize a Machiavellian manipulator before you become a victim. Before I get into that, I wanted to get into some definitions. Machiavellianism is a personality trait that denotes cunningness, the ability to be manipulative, and a drive to use whatever means necessary to gain power. And Machiavellian, as you might have gathered by now, means cunning, scheming, and unscrupulous, especially in politics. Okay, now that we've got that down, let's get back to the article. 1. The dog that doesn't bark. In Arthur Conan Doyle's The Hound of the Baskervilles, a dog's failure to bark proved to be the clue that broke the case for Sherlock Holmes. In romance scams and other types of frauds, the con artist typically overwhelms the victim with too many details and a too-good-to-be-true story. This is an example of the dilution effect, a phenomenon that occurs when our critical thinking is overwhelmed by an avalanche of interesting but irrelevant details that distract us from what's important. By telling us too much about nothing, the schemer baffles us with BS. The dog that didn't bark in Alice's case is that James never came to meet her despite his profession of love. His excuses and backstory were distractions to keep Alice complacent about this major omission. And even though this is an extreme story, I can think of a few times in my life or in other people's lives who have gone through similar things where somebody is constantly not showing up in the ways that they claim to want to show up. And it's not that people can't make mistakes. We all drop the ball from time to time. But when it's a pattern, you start to feel like you're the one going crazy. If this person is very good at getting their way, you may find yourself consistently confused, consistently disappointed, and you're not sure why. And this could be due to naivete or just lying to yourself. The red flags are there. They're hitting you in the face and you refuse to see it for some reason, maybe because you've known the person for so long. Longevity doesn't equal quality. That's what I'll say to that. Number two, testing boundaries. Alice's first scammer didn't get $200,000 from her all at once. He got it in dribs and drabs by presenting her with a succession of problems, emergencies, and urgent needs. He strung her along, spinning one improbable tale after another. But the thief would have gotten nothing if she had refused his first lowball request for money. An online suitor asking for financial help, especially if there has been no face-to-face meeting, is a serious breach of personal boundaries and a major red flag. I noticed this happening to a lot of older women. Older men too. It does happen to older men. It's very sad what happens when you are in a very vulnerable state, mentally and emotionally. And a lot of us might look down on that and think, oh my God, they're so incredibly stupid, or how could they let something like that happen? You know, they're supposed to be of a certain age. You know, you expect that from maybe a younger demographic or something. But I mean, it happens to younger people too. But I think we need to have a bit more compassion. We don't know where we're going to be at different points in our lives, because I'm sure a lot of us can think about times when we have sat down and thought about things we've done in the past or things we've allowed in the past, and we're wondering how could we have possibly let that happen. I was raised properly. I was raised to look out for these things. Or even if you weren't, maybe you understand street smarts and you're, I would never let anybody take me for a ride. Or maybe you even learned from an early scenario and you thought, I learned my lesson. Why did this happen again? Or maybe it happened in a different way, in a different package from a different person. And you're thinking, I should have been more knowledgeable or more wise or quicker to pick up on what was going on. And I think the best we can do is just to learn. Because again, life lessons are repeated and become more difficult until they're learned. The best we can do is just learn and have compassion for ourselves and others. We don't know what led them to be in the state of mind that would make them so vulnerable in the first place. All we can do is train ourselves to be more vigilant and self-aware. Three, assertive niceness. When a nice person comes on too strong and too fast, it may signal ulterior motives. Our tendency is to respond by being open and lowering our guard. Machiavellians see that as an invitation to take advantage. You asked for it, in other words. Genuine kindness is always a virtue, but be cautious of blandishments and especially love bombing. 4. The one-sided proposition. Notice that Alice never got to meet her first fake boyfriend, but he got to meet her money several times. She also never got to meet James, but James got her to transport his drugs. A more familiar example of this often occurs during negotiations. If you've ever waited in a car salesperson's office while he or she presented your offer to the sales manager, you've probably had something like this happen. "Sorry, Mr. / Miss Customer, but we can't sell it at this price. Help me out. Can you kick in another $2,000? First, you're not there to help the salesperson extract more money from you. Second, notice that they're not offering anything in exchange for the higher price. A reasonable response might be, "No, but I'll up my offer by $1,500 if you install a roof rack." You may not get the roof rack, but you're showing them that you won't make concessions without getting additional value in return. If they refuse the roof rack, then you refuse to increase your offer. At some point, you'll probably agree to pay a little more, and they'll make additional concessions that they weren't planning for. 5. The hard bargain. Speaking of negotiating, another sign you might be dealing with a Machiavellian is the introduction of bargaining into a situation that normally doesn't involve negotiations. For example, if a romance scammer asks for $1,000 and the victim says, "I don't have that much," the most likely response would be something like, "Can you send $500? The request for money is the first red flag. Bargaining is the second. Dating usually involves negotiating on where to have dinner and sometimes on who picks up the check, but it doesn't involve haggling over financial support. Here's another example. I had a beard when I was in college, and my mother hated it. She tried mild criticism to get me to shave it. When that didn't work, she played the guilt card. But the beard remained. Finally, she undertook to bargain and negotiate with me, offering me money and threatening grave, unspecific consequences if I refused. Even between mother and son, this kind of negotiating was improper pressure. I kept the beard until I graduated and was ready to enter the job market. My mother wasn't a master manipulator, but she hated that beard so much that she behaved like one in hopes of gaining my compliance. I have seen this a few times in my life. Actually, this very same scenario. There was a mother who claimed that her son was hurting her feelings by maintaining his beard because it reminded her of his father. That hurt. It wasn't me it was directed at, but that hurt me so much. And it was extremely appalling. The guilt and manipulation, seeing it in real time, is very different from reading about it. It's not always possible to avoid becoming ensnared by a Machiavellian until it's too late. On the other hand, there's no reason to walk blindly into a trap when the telltale signs are plain to see. Recognizing their tricks and schemes gives us a fair chance of beating master manipulators at their own game. And again, that was from Dale Hartley. He's a retired professor of psychology and business. His book, Machiavellians, Gulling the Rubes, explores the psychology of master manipulators and how to protect oneself. If this starts you off on your journey of reading more about topics like this, then power to you. I find things like this extremely interesting and very helpful. So I hope that this episode has provided you with some value, and hopefully we'll all go out and do our own research and hopefully share notes. Talk to your friends and family about it. If they're not the Machiavellians. But yeah, think about it. Maybe you'll discover one that you were not expecting. Thanks for being here on The Fringe. I'll see you in the next one.